Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Have you recently transitioned from being a tech on the bench to being a manager? Or maybe you were the lead phlebotomist and now you're the supervisor of phlebotomy? I'm sure you are experiencing a wide variety of emotions. It could be those feelings of intense pride, excitement, anxiety, and also some loneliness of making that transition. In today's episode, I will talk about the four common sources of stress for new and developing managers. So welcome to this episode of eLaborate Topics. I am your host and leadership mentor, Tywana Wilson. If you are tuning in for the very first time, welcome. So glad you landed on this podcast. And guess what? You're in good company. There are tons of laboratory professionals checking out this podcast from all around the globe. And my co-hosts and I, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, are excited that you want to spend 30 to 45 minutes each and every week hearing the practical tips that we share with you that you can use both inside and outside of the laboratory. So let's jump right into this. If you've been an individual contributor and now you have transitioned to a management or supervisory role, it comes with a lot of things that you probably didn't expect. And to be honest with you, some of these things we don't talk about when we talk about making that transition. Some of the things that you might experience is a lot of stress, emotional stress, and performance anxiety that can actually leave you unsettled as you embark on your new role. You probably were very great in your role as a medical laboratory scientist on the bench. You had tons of success. You scored very high on your performance evaluations, all of that as an individual contributor. And now, as you move into that management role, now you have to depend on the success of your team for your success. And with that, self-doubt crops up as you embark on many new situations, and your old coping mechanisms of dealing with yourself no longer apply. And these feelings are perfectly normal. They will resolve itself as you do start to get more skills and confidence under your belt. But today I'm going to give you some practical ways where you can take care of yourself, how you can understand the stress that you might be under that we may not talk about and you didn't find out about until you got in the role. So the first step I want you to do is label your emotions, what it is that you are feeling, so that you're able to give the emotion a name and you're able to start to think into that. And so that emotion could be performance anxiety, for example, and that might seem something like, I'm afraid I can't do this job. Now that the pressure is underway, there are a lot of things that you've never been trained to do. You have to think a certain way. Performance anxiety will start to creep in and you're going to think that you aren't able to do the job. You're going to be afraid that you cannot do the job. You might also experience regret of why did I even take this job in the first place? While you thought that it might have been one thing, you know, it came with a higher salary, so you were making more money. You thought being in an office, you know, was going to give you more freedom. And then once you got in the role, you found that it wasn't exactly as you dreamed about. So you might experience some regret. You might also have some frustration of, keep making mistakes or things keep going wrong. It could be a series of people are now starting to leave the department. And so it seems like your turnover rate is increased. So you're having that frustration and like, well, maybe it's me. Maybe, you know, things are going wrong and maybe it's me making these mistakes. You could also experience humility where you're thinking, I'm not ready for this job as I thought. I got my degree. I seen other people do it and it seemed like something I can do. But I'm realizing that, you know, maybe I'm not ready for this job. So you may have that emotion of humility. You could also experience the emotion of loss, of missing your identity, your camaraderie, your sense of competence. As you transition from a technical role to a people role, the competencies that you will rely on are very different. So when you were on the bench, you relied heavily on those technical competencies. As you start to move into management and you're in the development of people, mentoring people, coaching people, business operations, you're finding that your identity is needing to change because your level of competence and where you need to excel in is different. And then you might have the emotion of confusion where you're not even sure where you fit anymore because you were friends with everybody that was in the department when you both were on the same playing field. And now it's like, I don't even know where I fit. I don't quite fit in with the other managers. They have more experience than me, and I don't feel like I'm at that same level, but I don't quite fit in with my friends or peers that I was working side by side with. So that's the first step of labeling those emotions that you are going to feel as you transition in your new role. And this is to be expected in this first, you know, 6 to 12 months in your new role, as you find yourself rapidly growing in this new role and having to learn things that you hadn't, that you never knew before. The second step of that, which is where we will spend the bulk of this podcast, is finding the source of your stress and then giving you some practical solutions to be able to combat the overwhelm that you might be experiencing. So once you find out what you're feeling, now you have to consider where it could be coming from and what could be causing that stress. There are typically 4 common sources of stress for new and developing managers. And this could be role strain, it could be problem solving, fatigue, isolation, and imposter syndrome. I'm sure there are others, but today we're just going to focus on these 4. So let's jump into role strain. So you face conflict and overload in your position. What this could look like is you have too much or too little time, information, and resources to be able to get the job done. So you're struggling to find the time for the priorities. And in today's laboratories, there's usually multiple priorities, competing priorities, and trying to figure out where to spend your energy when everyone is important. That conflicting responsibilities, like you need to manage your labor to budget, you need to find sources to reduce costs. So all of those things, but you still have to have the labor to be able to get the job done. So people are still working overtime because you're short. So trying to navigate that. And then you answer to too many people. And this is something that people don't think about. You think you have your manager as the person that you report to, but really as a manager, especially if you're a frontline manager, you might answer to your manager. You might have your direct reports because they're going to want answers. Why don't I have the supplies to do my job? Are you trying to get more people in here? We're short. We're tired of working every weekend. You might have your peers because what's happening in your department could be affecting what's happening in their department. What's happening in technical could be affecting what's happening in processing. Other supervisors could also have questions for you. Hey, we are supposed to be collaborating or working on this project and you have not been available. So role strain, it's new, you're being pulled in multiple different directions and you're trying to figure out how to do it all. So here are some possible solutions or ways to mitigate role strain. Create quiet, regular periods of time during your day so that you can have uninterrupted work time. A good strategy is to plan, even if it's 20-minute blocks, focus time on your calendar to say, hey, these are the things that I'm going to focus on today. And in those 20-minute blocks, don't answer phone calls, don't check emails, and give yourself that time to just do whatever task it is that you wanted to complete. Some people call this Pomodoro time, where you're focused strictly on that one thing. Another solution is to acknowledge where you may have some deficiencies. Again, if you transition from the bench, you may not have had previous management experience. So you can't expect to be an expert on everything. So find people that can help you. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. And also, and I know this one is going to be difficult, is embrace imperfection. As lab people, we tend to be perfectionists. So embracing that imperfection so that you can meet every demand that's made of you. And sometimes you're going to do things great, and sometimes you're not going to do things great, and that's okay. The second source of stress is problem-solving fatigue. You feel the pressure to solve difficult problems for everybody. So you could be overwhelmed by the problems your direct reports bring to you. They're like, we're tired of working every other weekend. We're tired of being on 6 days a week. And so you're trying to figure out the best possible solution, trying to figure out the best possible scheduling. And sometimes you have to let other people help you because their ideas may be better. You could be dismayed that employees aren't meeting the standards to which you held yourself as an individual contributor. So you transition from the bench and you might have had a level 10 standard for yourself. And you're like, why isn't everybody else operating at a level 10? And so that can be very frustrating to you. A few techniques that you can do to try to combat the problem-solving fatigue is draw boundaries around what kind of problems you take on. Know that you can't solve everything and you're not the best problem solver for every situation. So draw those boundaries around the kind of problems that you can take on. You can coach your direct reports on how to solve more problems on their own. So, you know, think about that scheduling example. If they say, hey, we want, you know, a different kind of schedule, we have less people, can we do some creative scheduling? So maybe give the staff a template and have them come up with what they think would be a better scheduling scenario. Of course, give them, you know, here's the thing, we got 20 people and we want to keep overtime to a minimum. Really, we don't want it at all. So give them kind of, you know, what the boundaries are and let them come up with the solution. You'll be surprised of what they come up with. And another thing or observation is when you are experiencing that problem solving fatigue is don't resist the urge to classify everybody that comes to you with a problem as a problem employee. So that could be some solutions or things you can try to minimize the stress around problem solving fatigue. The third stress is that of imposter syndrome. So you can a lot of times feel inadequate and struggle to conceal that from other people. So you are feeling like maybe I can't do this job. You are having those symptoms of you're afraid to tell anybody or acknowledge mistakes because you think that's showing weakness or will diminish your power. You feel that your direct reports' failures reflect on you
and you feel uncomfortable with the amount of power you have over people's lives. And so you might not want to make some of the critical decisions that's necessary because you're like, well, they got a family. And if I do this, this is going to impact that. And, you know, sometimes you don't want that level of power on you. And that could be natural when you are transitioning from the bench to being a new supervisor. So those are that feeling of imposter syndrome. And here's a few techniques that you can use to kind of overcome imposter syndrome. It shows some vulnerability. So share openly what you know, but also where you need more information. And you can seek assistance from those who can help you. Admitting your mistakes is another way. So honesty isn't a weakness. It makes you more approachable and actually more credible. I know for me in my role in the laboratory, although I am a director, there are things that I don't know. There are people who have been in the industry for way longer than I have, and they know way more than I do, right? One person can't know it all. And so it's okay to say, hey, you all may have a better idea. You all are on the front lines with the employees, so you may know what worked better for them. Or if we're thinking about standardization and asking things, you know, my background, I went to school. I am a medical laboratory scientist with nearly 20 years of experience. So I'm thinking through that lens of a medical laboratory scientist. I went through a traditional 4-year undergrad. And now that we have non-traditional people in the laboratory, being able to come up with tools that will help them understand the job. Sometimes I'm thinking from, okay, I have experienced courses in genetics, organic chemistry, biochemistry, hematology, microbiology. Well, some of our team members may not have that background. And so if I'm looking at it only from that lens, some of the things I might come up with may not be relevant for them, or they may not understand that. And so coming, asking other people for what they think. Any other kind of solution or tidbit that I would suggest for being able to combat imposter syndrome is focusing on behaviors. So instead of kind of getting into those anxious feelings and coming up with actions that give you a sense of control over a stressful situation. So think about what you'll say before you feel overwhelmed. That way it's not coming from a place of I feel attacked, and now you're trying to come up with a solution towards that feeling of being attacked, right? So focusing on your behavior. So those are some things that you can try to combat imposter syndrome. And the last kind of stressor for a new or developing manager is that feeling of isolation, right? So you really enjoyed your old role of being a technologist, a phlebotomist, a processor. You enjoyed the camaraderie you had with your team members. You enjoyed that old work life that you had, maybe going out after work and, you know, having a good time with your team members. And now you're acclimating to a new kind of social distance role, right? Because now that you have, you know, you are a supervisor or team leader or a lead or manager, director, or whatever your title may be, now the roles are different and the expectations are also different. And so you have that feeling of isolation. You don't have a clear group whose values and norms you identify with. Like you might feel like you are the lonely manager, right? Like nobody really understands. You got to make unpopular decisions and people are reacting with mistrust and sometimes resentment, because now you're saying we were working every third weekend, now we got to work every second weekend, right? So that could be, you know, you had to make a tough decision. Your peers no longer like that decision. And so now there could be some mistrust among them or resentment, because they're like, well, you were just on the bench with us. You know what it's like. But now you're making these decisions that we don't agree with. And then you no longer have that casual social contact with your former peers now that they are reporting to you. And so, you know, you could feel that isolation. That's a big deal to go from being peers and friends and hanging out to having that boundary or those lines of now that you are their manager, their boss, because you don't want to still hang out with them in the same way that you did before, so that you are being objective and making sure that you are having equality in your department and treating everybody the same. So some potential solutions to combat the isolation that you might feel as you are getting used to being in your new role is to seek support and companionship from other people in your organization who might also be in that same spot. So these could be, you know, people that are managers in different departments. These could be coworkers that you might have worked with in a totally different department who don't report to you. So what this could look like is you could set up maybe lunch with a colleague who was either promoted at the same time as you, so they're now the new manager, or you could set up time with your manager to do lunch, or your mentor or coach, so that you're able to still have that sense of normalcy as you adjust and adapt to your new role. And then you can develop some new routines for making some social contact with your team. So this could be, my favorite is rounding with your team. So checking in with people every day as you settle in for the day. It could be hosting some kind of midweek kind of break for the whole office. So maybe it's a huddle. So maybe you do a midday huddle with your team. Hey, what's going on? What's the status of the department? Is there anything that's going on? So maybe you do check-ins in the morning, maybe midday, depending on your environment. You might do a huddle, or maybe at the end of shift, you do a huddle. This is what went well. This is where we have some opportunities. Here's where we maybe had some shortage or instrument issues that we might have had. So those are all stresses that you are going to deal with as a new and emerging manager, a new leader, especially transition from the bench. And if you did it within your organization. Transitioning from peer to lead within your organization, to me, is a little bit more difficult than being a bench tech and then taking on a supervisory role at another organization. And the reason I say that is because the expectations are different. You know, you went from being peers at Lab A and now you transition to manager. Some of the people you are managing could have been the very same people that trained you and taught you most of the things that you know. When you transition from a bench technologist or scientist at Lab A and now you're a supervisor at Lab B, the only thing that they know you as is their supervisor or manager at Lab B. And so you don't have to overcome those feelings of isolation from now we were friends, now I have to make an adjustment. And it's just a little bit different. You're still going to have some of these stressors, but it's going to be a little bit different than transitioning within the same organization. So now that you understand what those stresses could be, as you are developing your skill set and you are getting acclimated to your role, a few things I want you to keep in mind as you are going through this change in your life, making sure you don't neglect your personal life. So making sure you keep your friends and your families close so that they can listen to what's going on. So stay connected with them, because you could feel loneliness at work and you definitely don't want to feel loneliness at home. So making sure that you don't neglect your personal life. Make sure you protect your downtime. So everybody needs time to debrief stress. So that take, you know, for your mental and physical well-being, you need to give your brain a break, your body a break, and you need to rejuvenate yourself with whatever activities are your choice, whether that's working out, whether that's going to movies, or some other hobby that you enjoy. So protecting your downtime. You are, especially when you're new, you're going to feel like you got to take work home. You're going to feel like you need to cut into to your personal time to try to get things done. And for your own protection of your own mental and physical health, it's best to protect your downtime, protect your personal life, take care of your health. Make sure you're getting proper sleep. Make sure you're getting proper nourishment. And then keep your job in perspective. So when work feel like it's like going in every different direction and it's spinning out of control, recenter yourself and get to what's important, right? At the end of the day, your mental and physical well-being is all that you have. You get one body, as they say, so take care of it. So keeping things into perspective. So that's what I have for you for today, is you transition from peer to lead, from individual contributor to being a manager. I want you to be aware of some of the things that often not spoken, those hidden truths about making that transition to management. And making sure that you take care of your own stress, make sure that you take care of your own well-being, and know that the trials that you're going through, those feelings of regret, those feelings of not being good enough, those feelings of not being able to do the job are only temporary until you're able to get acclimated and get more competencies and get more skills under your belt. I would definitely say if you don't have a mentor, get you a mentor who's further along in their journey than you are, who maybe has been a manager for a period of time that might be able to offer you some support. Also, invest in coaching so that you can develop some skills that will make you a stronger leader, especially as you have to critically think, have communication skills, and make those connections with your team. So transitioning from task to transitioning to people focused. So we have done other episodes about, you know, being a new manager or transitioning to management. So definitely tap into some of those episodes. We have over 100 and at this point, 15 episodes that we have done for the Elaborate Topics podcast. So tap into some of those previous episodes. They will give you quick insights so that you can develop some quick wins as you transition into your new role. So thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Elaborate Topics. Make sure you share this podcast out with your friends, with your colleagues, with your laboratory, with anybody that can use these practical tips that they can use to excel inside of and outside of the laboratory. You will find us on directimpactbroadcasting.com, your favorite podcast platform, LabVine. So you will find us at any of those stations. So just make sure you tap in. And until next time, my friends, this is Tywana Wilson, your leadership laboratory mentor. Take care and have an awesome week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.